Is that the joke that everyone laughed at off mic, but then I got in trouble for saying on mic? Is that the one?
No, I don't think anyone laughed at it off mic.
Oh, you guys were laughing. No, we bent over.
No, we were stunned.
No, what? You were not.
Fruit Loots?
Yes, you were laughing.
Was I?
Yeah. You were laughing.
And then you're like, come gentlemen, back. Roll the tape.
It was the other
gentlemen,
one.
Gentlemen, roll the tape.
It was
back.
The other, that was the last joke that I made about Colossus to me. That
the that's, Colossus to me
that's
back.
That's the one that you, that's one where you're bent over in pain. But the other one, well, everyone was laughing, and I was like, oh, that killed. And then you're like, Dave, how dare you say that?
Yeah, that's what I said. Listen, isn't it you know, time we you recorded apologize? The show. We recorded the show. Play it back.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
Well, welcome to the show, Ian.
Hey, where's the audience, Dave?
Where is the audience? It's much like our live show. Where is the audience?
No one's dressed as Trigun and Colossus and Ninja Turtle and...
I didn't know who they were.
Pikamon and Pukachu and Pipapaka and
yeah.
Alpaca and all the things.
Titicaca.
Yeah, Titicaca
was
there.
It's a lake. The greatest named lake on Earth.
Fantastic. Let's do our plugs to start off.
Okay.
All right. Hey, everybody. You know, nowadays, what's everyone wearing? What's the latest craze? Shirts.
Tutus.
No. I know why you're saying that, because we're in front of the Ballet Academy, and so you're in the mind of tutus.
Oh, okay.
But around the rest of the world, shirts are the thing, Dave.
Oh, shirts.
I mean, Sorry. Any man who's out and about needs a shirt. But where are you supposed to get one? You know,
that's a good question.
Should you go out to a store? Well, you're just going to
A haberdashery?
Well, no, that's for hats, Dave.
No.
What is it?
That would not be for hats. That's
what's a haberdasher?
Ties, I think, and like handkerchiefs.
What's a hat? Where do you get your hats blocked?
I don't know.
Okay.
At a hattery.
Okay, well, you're just making up stuff now, too.
At a hatchery.
Very good. Now, you want to go out and you want to get like yourself a shirt, but you're going to get stabbed because of all the crime. You don't want that. You want to stay at your own home, and you want to order the shirt over your computer. Where
you have
it's
to
safe.
Go to a draper's.
What do drapers make?
Clothes.
Why do they make drapes?
I don't know. But they make clothes.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Clothes drape on you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So do drapes.
The drapes don't drape, though.
Okay, Dave, do we sell drapes?
No.
Then shut the fuck up. I'm trying to sell some shirts. Hi, everybody. Anyway, we're selling shirts on our website.
Do you know how you sell shirts?
How's that?
You send them to people.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. You send them to people. So anyway, you go on our website. You want a Sneaky Dragon shirt. They're designed by Dave. They're all nice and snappy and cool in summer, warm in winter.
Exactly.
Why not pick one up?
They're thin-slated.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just making up words right now. We're having a nonsense start to the beginning. Just bear with us. About 10 minutes in, it'll all start to make sense. And at the end of this month, as always, we've got the Critical Hit Show, a live Dungeons & Dragons experience. Why not come to the Rio Theater and see me in that? You should. Hey, you want to see the Serial Killers? You can't. It got canceled. Okay. Anyway, Dave.
That's shitty.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Bomb the theater.
I've got another show there.
Not that theater.
Just a
just
theater?
A theater, yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
No, it just wasn't it wasn't a big enough house.
Yeah.
Also, I think the crowd that showed up was ill-behaved. That was you. You were a little bit drunk. You said some very controversial things.
Yes.
Hurtful things that you can't take back.
Yes. I was praising The Room. Yeah. Saying what a good movie it was.
Michael Roberts was also with you. Also, yeah. Very hateful things were said.
Mm-hmm.
By
me to him.
That's right. And the Rio Theater decided, you know what would be better than this show is nothing. So let's get rid of this.
Wednesdays is dark.
That's right. We're just going to have
the
it
first
dark.
Wednesday of every month of the Rio, the theater's black.
Well, what they do then is they take all the mouse traps away and just let the rodents run free. And I'm not saying that they have mice. They're fine. I'm sure they don't. I'm sure they're a very clean establishment and all the people there are fine. They just made the choice that it was like, there you go. The weird thing to me, I'll just say, is because like there's another show that's there, the Gentlemen Hecklers, who are friends of ours, and their initial show had less people than ours,
yeah.
And they decided to let that one go, and ours they did not. That's the only little point that I'm kind of like, ba-ba-da-ba, but you know what? It's your theater. It's your business.
Well,
live and let live, life and let life.
Is because one of the Gentlemen Hecklers is part of the... Is kind of runs
the Illuminati
runs a really big show of the Wednesdays of every month thing,
which is
Critical Hit Show.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm
that gives him some clout.
I'm in that one as well, right, Dave?
He has a good clout score.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about clout and trying to explain what it is. No one understands it, but
K-L-O-U-T-E.
Yeah, that's right. The movie Clute.
Yeah.
But it's that's what your online presence is. How influential are you?
That's your
with the online world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but going back to just quickly with the serial killers thing, we talked about 2 weeks ago.
How big of an internet whore are you? That's Clute.
That's right. We talked about 2 weeks ago about like what would it be like if the show didn't work? And yeah, it's a little bit of a sting, but you know, I'm gonna keep trying stuff, and we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. Let's just say that you said what would happen if the show didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what happened, though, because the show worked.
Oh, you're saying, right? Like, you thought that,
like,
the show...
We brought a friend with us who absolutely loved the show, talked it up to her friends, was planning on bringing more people to the show, really wanted to come back and see it, you know, and now she can't, and her friends can't see it. So, to me, that's a success, though, that you someone came who had never seen that before, had never been to a thing like
that. I think the show that we put on was a success. It's, it's hard to say. You know what's successful is that factory that closed down. You know, because people like the people that bought the product mm-hmm. liked it, and so that's why that factory that's now closed is a big success.
I don't think you can.
I'm not saying it. Look,
making a product, though. I mean, you aren't. I mean, okay, let's say
the event that you did. I was happy with how it turned
was
out.
Was undersubscribed.
The people. Well, this is the thing. It's like when you're doing the old, hey, you should get on that Facebook and do the Facebook events. No one does that anymore. No one pays attention to that business anymore.
Well, unless, we all say we're going, and then we don't go.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You wouldn't even look at it if it said the Dave Dedrick Jamboree. You would probably not even check that. You'd go like, yeah, I'm going, and then you might not go. You know, and that's fine.
I wouldn't even say I was going, because I don't even say that.
But I can understand, because this show itself, I mean, what we did was we dubbed over old serials, and that's a tough thing to explain to people unless they've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, the shows that are hits there right now are, like, the Dungeons & Dragons show.
Yeah.
People know what that
built
is.
Built-in audience.
Well, built-in audience, but it started off fairly strong, too.
Yeah, because it has a built-in interest.
It's got,
right?
A board game,
yeah,
so you know what it is. Same with, like, Improv Against Humanity is another show they have there based on Cards Against Humanity.
Sure.
Very popular game. Both very popular board games. Ah, we get it. There you go. But something like The Gentleman...
That's it!
What's
if
that?
You did a Clue show,
yeah,
that would increase your Clute.
Well, or we could just do Cluedo. We do the British version.
That's
all have
right.
Sassy British accents,
and that would improve your Cluedo mm-hmm. score.
Well, this is the dilemma that I find with a lot of things that I pitch. Is like, you can either go, and there's nothing wrong with a simple idea that mm-hmm. people get, and that's all well and good. But sometimes you want to do something that's a little bit different and weird, and that's always going to be a harder thing to get across.
Yeah,
you know, like when I'm explaining what we do on this here podcast. Mm-hmm. That's tricky.
Oh, it is.
You know?
I just tell people that we burn a man alive.
I don't want to say what movie would do that, because that would spoil a movie. So I'm not going to say what that is.
Never do that.
No, I'm never going to do that. But, you know, you get something like...
However, do tell everyone that you meet that the monster at the end of It is a telepathic spider. Because that's not a spoiler. That's a time saver. That you're saving people a lot of aggravation when they get to the end of this giant effing brick of a book. And they find out that what is at the center of it is a spider.
Well, I was thinking this week, you know, if the Stephen King characters met and you had the one group and it was like, hey, what was your day like? Ah, oh, it was the worst. Ah, oh, really the worst. What happened? Well, this dog had rabies. Oh, no. Yeah. What happened with the dog with rabies? Oh, the dog had rabies? Yeah. What was it? It was like a St. Bernard. It was the worst thing in the world. What have you guys been up to? Well, we had this spider clown that eats you and lives in the sewers, and it's telepathic, and it cannot be destroyed by any means. Oh, that's interesting. I guess our dog was not that that big a deal. How many people did that dog eat? How many of your children did he eat? Didn't really eat any of the children. Oh, quite a few of our... children were pulled in the sewer and eaten alive, but that sounds like a real drag with that whole rabid Saint Bernard. I guess you could solve that with what, a gun? Yeah, you can't really shoot the telepathic clown spider as much. One, it knows it's coming. Two, it doesn't hurt it. And three, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. To be fair to the book, it is
good for crushing real spiders.
Well, the form the spider is what we can perceive. That behind
the that's in the book, the not reality, the not the TV series.
The reality of the spider is that it's some sort of
it's thing. Even worse.
It's even worse
it's
than that.
It's even worse.
It's two spiders. But you know, the thing with spiders, and maybe Stephen
first, wouldn't that be terrible, by the way, if you're in your bathroom, you see a giant spider, and then the one big spider just says to you, "I'm the distraction." Then you feel a little tap on your shoulder. But, oh, that'd be creepy.
But it's not a distraction.
Nail that to Stephen King.
It's what you can perceive without losing your mind. Ugh. That's what that spider is.
You know
is.
What? I'm going to tell you. A spider clown makes me lose my mind.
But it's not a spider clown.
Okay. Well, he was
a clown.
A
clown is separate. He doesn't look like a spider.
One, clown in the sewer that eats you, done.
That's kind of scary.
No, it's beyond scary. That's pants, shit, done, will myself to death. What happens next? Well, now he's a giant spider.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already dead. Yeah. You know? And if I wasn't, I would hang myself in front of the spider on one of his webs.
But
I would just like tie it around my neck and jump off the nearest thing. Kasnappa, the end.
Spiders aren't that scary, though.
Really?
There's a John
Wyndham. Really? 30-foot spider, not that scary.
There's a John Wyndham book called, it's called Web. And in this book,
it predicted the internet.
It predicted the internet. He should have. It's about spiders, but they're just regular-sized spiders. They're not giant spiders. But Wyndham, he was an arachnophobe, so to him, spiders are terrifying. Mm-hmm. So he's reading this book, and he's like, oh man, this is so scary. People are just going to shit their pants when they read this. But then when you read it, you're like, spiders on an island and making silk parachutes so they can float off somewhere. I mean, they're bad spiders, but you're not like you're freaking out about it. It's not like they're triffids. I mean, plants. That's scary. I'm a plantophobe, though. So.
Or whatever the happening or whatever that is, where it's a gentle breeze. That'd be terrible, huh?
But doesn't the gentle breeze come from the plants?
Does it?
Don't the trees create the breeze?
I don't know if they actually fully explain it. They just go, something happened, and it's scarier because they don't tell you. And lazier because they don't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah,
by the way, Dave, you want to make a horror movie nowadays, let me tell you how you do it.
Oh, okay.
Here's what you do. You get a camera, and it can be handheld. You're like, do I have to make it HD? No. Handheld Steadicam?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No need.
Yeah.
Good sound. Don't worry about it. Here's all you have to do. Have a camera and just like follow someone around a house for like your movie's 90 minutes for about 88 minutes.
Okay.
And then in the last 2 minutes, have some shit go down.
Okay.
You know, have someone jump at the camera or drag a guy off or someone push someone down the stairs and then the bottom of them, there's a bad thing down there. That's all you need to do. And you've made yourself a hit movie.
Well,
done.
I was going to do a film where I
jump, $25 million opening weekend.
I jump off a plane with someone else, and then we float down, and I just film them going down, and it's parachute activity.
Okay. I don't... Now, is that enough of a pun? Is it? Because Now, here's the thing. You've got paranormal activity. That's a three-syllabler. Parachute activity. Boy, I don't know. I don't know if it's similar enough... I can't cut you that much pun slack.
I'm a rebel. I make my own rules.
Okay.
Doesn't matter to me.
That's right. This guy laughs at the beat of his own drum. It's weird seeing a guy laugh at a drum, but he's there going bang, ha ha, bang, ha ha.
Tee hee.
Yeah, tee hee, ha ha, ho ho. But yeah, that seems to be all you have to do now is for a horror movie is just make them wait. Make them wait. Make them wait, and then have an old lady jump out. That's the thing now, too. Old ladies are scary. Get an old lady jumping out at you. Oh, mortality. It's coming at you.
Old ladies are scarier than clowns.
Wait, if you had an old lady clown?
Have you seen the...
Covered in spiders?
Have you seen the trailer for Your Next? Have you seen it?
No.
It's kind of freaky.
Is it about like you're at a deli? And then you pull a number, and it's like, what number did you pull? Mine's got a skull on it. Uh-oh. And then like it comes up, and then you got no choice, and then you're the deli meat. Yeah.
This big blade comes down.
Yep.
In this movie, it's some people go to a country house, a fancy country house.
Never do that.
Out in the country.
Yeah.
For a weekend of family activities.
Sure.
And they're very good people.
Oh, they are good people.
They say grace at the table.
Okay, that might be covering up some sins. Who knows?
Who knows? And then, in the trailer, one of them gets a crossbow bolt into the head.
Okay, well, that's spoiled.
But there's like, it's in the trailer.
I know, that's what I mean, spoiled. No, I'm saying the trailer's spoiling it.
But it's called The Animals. Oh, no, the things are called The Animals in it. But I think the movie's called You're Next.
Okay. And
I'm not actually certain what it's called.
So the band The Animals is outside.
That's right, Eric Burdon. And you know who's in? Here, I'll tell you a little thing that you probably didn't know.
I bet you're right.
A guitar player who was in The Animals.
Yes.
Who was also in a famous 80s band. 70s/80s band. I'll give you a further hint. It was a trio, and they were British. Can you guess?
It's one of the Police.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he played in The Animals in the 60s, And then he played in The Police.
What's his name again?
Andy Summers.
Andy Summers. Who's the other guy who isn't Sting?
Stuart Copeland, the drummer.
Stuart Copeland, I have written some comedy material for
him. His dad was a director of the CIA, Stuart Copeland.
Oh, that's neat. That's yeah. That's a neat fact. Does and the fact that I wrote for him anything? Does that
bother you wrote him? For Stuart Copeland?
Yeah, that was what I just said a couple of seconds ago. You didn't Sorry. Seem to give a damn. That was no. weird. It seemed like that was an interesting thing that was sort of related to what you said.
My head.
And you might want some connection Who? That I brought up that I
How?
Wrote for it.
How?
And that was interesting, and well, you didn't seem to give a damn.
What
well, now it's fair enough.
What did you write?
I wrote, there was a show I wrote called Big Sound.
Okay.
And it had rock stars in it. Yeah. He was the rock star that week, and so I wrote a bunch of funny business for him to do.
Oh, okay. Did he do it?
Yeah, I did. He was okay.
Was he good at it?
Was yeah, he was not our original choice. I forget who our original choice was. It could have been Katie Lang. Could have been someone along those lines.
But you discovered that she has no sense of humor?
She actually seems to actually have a pretty good sense of humor.
Okay.
We're both bitter because Katie Lang bumped us once from the Vancouver show, me and Dave, a long, long time ago.
Oh, that's not it for me.
That was it?
No.
That wasn't. But that was the
first.
She
used to go to the movies when I used to work in the parking lot. And she used to go to the movies, and she was not a nice person.
Oh, okay. How can you tell?
But how people treat you is how you tell if people are nice.
So how do you treat
the way you tell someone's nice
does
is how,
she,
the, how
she,
they
like,
treat people
fold
who,
up the money real tight and then just stick it in your eye? Like, what did she do?
Just a lack of friendliness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know. I mean, she's a lady who's only got lowercase letters in her name. I mean, that must be hard, growing up with only lowercase letters.
I think E.E. Cummings was probably a nice person.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Mm. He only had lowercase letters in his name.
He had a scary-sounding name.
E.E. Cummings?
Yeah, he just went, E.E. Cummings.
She wasn't very nice. And I always think that the way to judge people is how you treat people who are, quote-unquote, beneath you.
But when Dave and I were young men in the sketch comedy game, we had a group. And we were supposed to appear on this Vancouver show.
Yeah.
And the first person that bumped us was Katie Lang.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were supposed to appear another time, and we got bumped by the Thompson Twins.
Which was weird, because we were
going to... We got some major 80s bumpage.
We were going to sing Hold Me Now as well, so that was weird.
Yeah.
So that's kind of... Was that disappointing?
Yeah, because we had written that song before, and then they scooped us.
Yeah.
Those guys. And they weren't even twins.
No, they weren't.
No. Now, did they name themselves after Tintin?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you must like them for that.
Why would I like them for that?
Because it's nice. It's a little tribute to the comic you like.
I have an affection for Hold Me Now, but that's just because one-time girlfriend...
Held you now.
We're dancing to it, and she just kissed my neck. And that's how I knew she liked me.
That's when Dave...
I need that sort of really...
He would date women that were a foot shorter than him, and that's all they could reach.
Well...
Nothing but neck.
I'm 6'8".
That's right.
Not really.
You are a mutant.
I'm not really 6'8". 6'2".
Eyes of blue and coochie coochie cute. That's the oldest reference we're going to make this show. No, it's not. We're going to go back. That was a problem last week when we were in front of the audience of young people. The references were not going over.
No.
No.
There's a lot of blank stares.
Yeah, a lot of Charles in Charge not falling on deaf ears. To which I want to say, hey, look it up on your iPad phones then, huh? Look it up. You'll understand.
Speaking of iPads and things like that, I lost my e-reader at that live show.
Oh, e-reader.
I know. I'm still a bit upset about it because
I've been reading. I'm sorry.
I've been doing my Anthony Trollope readathon, and I think I was at book number 9, and so that's kind of put the kibosh
on that.
What
type of e-reader did you have?
I had a Kobo.
It was a Kobo?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
it's not a color. It's
it wasn't
black
color.
And white.
No, it was a Kobo Glow. So it was just
Kobo Glow. That sounds adorable.
It had a just a regular e-ink screen.
Right.
But it had the lights on the side, so I could read in bed at night.
Now, if any sneakers wanted to send you a Kobo,
no,
they should.
No, they shouldn't.
No, of course they
should.
Because
it's there.
You should.
It's there.
You should send
it's
it.
It's somewhere there. Like,
if you've got a spare Kobo, send it to Dave.
I got a Facebook message from someone involved with the thing we were at with the Cause and Effect show. And he said, I think there was a e-reader turned in.
Oh.
So he said, send an email to this address, which I'd already sent an email to.
Right.
So I sent it again.
Right.
And I still haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, bless the event and thanks for having us there. It's one of those where you just see people who are there who are kind of like, and you just go, okay, I'm not going to find anything.
You feel like, yeah, you feel like the people running the show are exactly the same as the people at the show.
A little bit, yeah. You know? So it feels like no one's in charge, and that's fine. But it's one of those, it's like when you're in a dream and you're trying to find something and everything starts like backing up and you can't get close to it. Yeah. That's what it sort of felt like when we were there. It's like, hey, where's this thing? I don't, and then you show up and there's a rhinoceros dancing. And you're like, what's this about? And I don't know. And there's five other rhinoceroses behind it in worse costumes. I don't know. It just, it was a weird night, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was a little bit out of it that night, I would think.
Why?
I think. I don't know. I was listening to our episode last week and just going, oh, I don't, I sound weird. I did not like how I sounded.
Well, what I liked
it was probably one of my two least favorite shows we've ever done.
Really?
Yeah. Last week, yeah.
I thought you were really good on it because you were kind of driving the show. Like, I felt like I was just sitting there interjecting stupid jokes through the
Do you know what? Show. I think that's one of the reasons that I didn't feel like I was doing a good job was because I felt that you were probably distanced from it, and I was like, I'm not bringing Dave in enough. I'm not bringing Dave into this, and we're not having a conversation. You know, I felt like I'm just tap dancing over at the side, you know, and
well, it is a drawback to guest shows is that
nothing against Eric and Sean, who are swell fellows.
No, no, they're really good.
Yeah.
But it's just a drawback not just me, for any person on a show, when you bring a guest on, is that, you know, it's about the guest. And so, you know, naturally one person is kind of left out of it in that way. And then having both Eric and Sean, well, you know, they're really funny, so they can carry the whole show.
Absolutely, they can carry the whole show. And I want to be, you want to be a generous host.
Yeah.
But it's like, Dave, let's say you're my wife, okay? Let's just set this up. So, like, we're the host and hostess. All right, you know, I might be the wife. We're not going to say who's who, but like, we're inviting someone over for a lovely dinner. Now, if my spouse is there and they don't say anything through the thing and they're not involved in the conversation, well, this dinner has gone wrong. And that's what I kind of felt was just like, oh, I'm doing a little bouncy bounce back and forth here, and you know, this show is should be you as well, and come on in, and so that felt like. I fucked that one up. That is what it sounded like. Oh, when we're talking about failures, Dave, I don't think so much that the show that got canceled was a failure, but I thought like last week's, I didn't do the best job on that one. So everyone, go to that episode and delete it now.
Everyone, when you see Ian, I want you to give him a hug and to say you did a good job.
Oh, don't hug me. That feels weird.
Do you not like getting hugged?
Well,
I'm not a big person for being hugged.
Well, here's my problem is you better let me know that a hug's a coming, because I don't. Okay. I need a hug signal. I need
so
to see you.
They should hold their arms wide and go, "Come here."
Yes, I had a guy do that to me in San Diego, which was fantastic.
Okay,
it was like this guy I'm not gonna say who it was. He was a nice guy though. But he was coming down the street and he saw me and Pia, and I put my hand out for a handshake, and he went, "We're gonna hug." And I was like, "I get it. I'm on board. I'm 100%." The worst thing is when you're standing next to someone and you think it's a hug, and you go for a hug, and it's not a hug, and now you've made it a hug, and now it's son of a bitch, I'm hugging this person. They don't want to be hugging me. Break it off. Feels weird. Tap on the shoulder. Got to turn and leave. Awful.
I hear you. Well, I'm terrible at all those things. Yeah. Every one of them. Handshake, terrible.
Right.
Hug, terrible. Reading which one we're going to do.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You end up just getting kissed on the neck for no reason by everyone.
Well, yeah. We had a Christmas party at our house, and that exact same thing happened to me. I thought, oh, is this the hug moment? So like, I went in for a hug, and she didn't think it was a hug moment. And I was like, oh, now I'm awkwardly in this thing, and I gotta carry it through. You can't just stop.
Yeah.
You can't just shut your hand. Oh, and just stop. So you're like awkward mugging of this poor woman.
Yep.
And then it haunts me to this day. I always think about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a hug guy that I gave in this hallway that I always think like, ah, shit. You know, ah, shit. Because, like, the last time I saw the person, we hugged after, you know, we were saying goodbye, but it was more of a hugging situation. I'm like, well, I guess we're huggers now. This is what we do. You can't take that back. Apparently you can. Oops, fuck. Goddamn. You know.
Yeah.
So now I just hide from people when they're I see them coming.
Well, my cousin Jason's been on the show a couple times, and so I've mentioned my Uncle George, who has passed away now, but he gave the world's firmest handshake. Basically, what he did was, you know, turn your hand into toothpaste. And so that always kind of makes me scared to shake people's hands. I don't actually enjoy, like, a really firm handshake like that.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
What
are we doing? Yeah, if it's like, if this squeeze goes any harder, we're going to have to fight. Like, I clearly have to we have to clock each other in the side of the heads with our remaining fists and just battle.
Go at it.
Yeah, here we go.
The macho's on. And so, yeah, so when I shake hands with people, one thing is you people tell you their names while you're shaking their hands. So I don't hear their name.
Nope.
Because in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, got to make the handshake work. Because what usually happens is I get my hand in there, but it's late, and then I end up with the two-finger squeeze with their whole hand.
The two-finger squeeze is terrible.
Or some kind of not quite fully engaged handshake, and that's so embarrassing.
You got to do the rub on the pants, make sure it's nice and dry and first.
And so then they go, oh, you know, my name's Dan or whatever, and then shake hands. But by the time that's over, I don't even know who they were.
Here's what happened to me. I'm in the airport in Los Angeles after some sort of convention, and I go to the bathroom, and the dryer isn't working, right? It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing I'm not rubbing it on my hair or my shirt because I don't want to. Like, if I put on my shirt, it's going to stain my shirt, like, with a big blob.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just shaking my hand. And then I come out, and my boss, Matt Groening, is there, right? And he didn't recognize me at first because we didn't see each other at the con. And I go, like, oh, hey, Matt. It's the initial of, like, he doesn't want to be recognized in public, probably. So I'm like, oh, no, it's me, Ian, hey, how's it going? And without thinking, we go for the handshake, and I give him the wet hand. And I'm like, son of a fuck, that haunts me still. That still haunts me. And, you know, I knew it was unpleasant for him, and it was just weird. And now he's got to go dry his hand, and he thinks it's sweaty or maybe pee, and it's there's nights where it's like 5 a.m. and I just go, the wet hand, and it just let you come back when you have that nice recall of the embarrassing things in your life, and you remember that thing where you said that thing in that parking lot, and you're like, God damn it! If I just had a time machine and like 5 goes, I could just go back and I'd just erase these 5. Fucking, not even horrible things. I wouldn't give anyone good advice they need to survive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't save lives. I would just go back and I would erase 5 embarrassing events and just go and just stop.
That's all you want. If you had 5 trips back in a time,
yeah,
none of them would involve getting a lotto number or whatever.
Yeah.
Just back to yourself.
I wouldn't warn anyone about 9/11.
Yeah.
I'd just go to that parking lot and you know that joke you said in front of that person that had the double meaning? You will fucking not say that. You'll just give a smack to the back of the head or I'll hang in a bush and I'll throw a rock at my face and I'll fucking rock at my face and they'll just shut me up in time. Then I'll run back in the machine, flash away, and everything will be fine.
Well, it's funny you say that because
you have a time machine.
Because I do have a time
machine. And we're going to go have some adventures.
So let's go.
That's the
all of time and space is yours. Okay, let's go back to 1981. And I have to go and interrupt myself before I say that to that girl.
Wouldn't that be great if that's the new season of Doctor Who? It's just you go back and they just do petty things and just like, let's just, these embarrassing, stupid things.
That's right.
Yeah, nothing big.
Yeah.
It's just telling that teacher who told you you'd never make it as a da-da-da-da, just go, listen, fucker!
No, that's not, you'd be embarrassed about that.
You throw down your award and you just go, ah, you see this? And they'd go, that award doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to beat them to death with
You'd be creating more moments that to wake up to.
Probably, and, yeah, that is the problem.
But I never feel that way about like jokes that I make. And I make a lot of bad taste jokes to people.
Have you ever made a joke that has hurt somebody?
Probably.
Like a mean joke that's hurt
somebody. Yeah.
Would you take those back, or you're like, let them slide?
No.
Okay.
Because it was meant as a joke. I wasn't actually trying to be mad. It came across badly, but like I don't regret those sort of things. Because it's just a moment. Like, you can't... I have a terrible
social filter.
Wait a
second. You can. We have this time machine. I get your scenario. No,
what
you
I would
can
do,
take it back.
What I would do...
I'm saying you can.
Here's what I would take back. This is one.
The night.
This is a moment that haunts me so much.
Okay.
When we were having.
Wait, let me set up a little campfire.
Okay.
All right.
No, it sounds like paper.
All right. I didn't want to crumple this up because I realized it was a nice piece of art.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, I can. Now that's good too.
It's okay. It's okay. We don't need a campfire.
No, we're gonna have a campfire.
Get that cellophane. Cellophane.
No.
On the right there, the cellophane. On your shelf there, on the second.
Yeah, I see the cellophane, but this is going to work better.
Cellophane's better. That's what they use. That's what they use professionally.
If I could have one moment taken back. Okay, you're going to set the campfire. Ready?
Yeah.
Then we'll do the cellophane later if you want.
Okay. You think that sounds like a fire?
Fuck! I'll get the cellophane.
It's right down there. Right on that shelf.
All right.
Right on the there you go.
This?
Yeah.
That's plastic.
That's cellophane, isn't it? Yeah, not so fast. A little slower.
This sounds weird.
Fail. You're no Foley, man.
Not that fast,
you
buddy.
You can't work in radio.
Okay, here, are you ready?
Okay.
Campfire.
Yeah, it sounds like a campfire.
I don't know. You fucking told me to bring it up. I'm lighting a damn real fire to tell the story. If I had one thing to take back, it'd be the last minute.
when I was in grade 8, my cousin came back. She was my fake cousin came back to live in BC, and she and like her family, they moved quite close to us, and we were getting a pool put in our backyard that summer, because my dad decided to get a pool, and so my cousin and I, we hung out quite a bit that summer because I had no friends.
Was this a pool your dad trying to get you friends? Because that's a great way in a suburban neighborhood to get friends is like, hey, guess what this guy is? Oh, I hate that guy. He's got a pool. I like that guy. Let's go house in a pool.
Well, what happened was I had a friend move away, a good friend move away. Right. And then I made another friend. And then that friend, they moved to farther away from Mark. So, you know, is this a case of, you know, just.
So you think it was you?
But body odor. And so, so this cousin and I were hanging out quite a bit. So one day she came over, and our pool was all finished, and we were filling it with water. And I don't know if you've ever seen tap water, like just in a pool before all the stuff's added to it.
Nope.
It looks like a swamp. You know, it's brown and gross, and it comes out of your tap. Yeah.
Oh, that's strange. Okay.
It's weird.
Why, when you put it in a bath, it doesn't look like that?
Because it's not enough of it. It's just, there's, you know, when you put enough into a pool, and probably there's some stuff in the pool as well.
The brown kicks in after a certain point.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And so, you know, because it's really, it just comes out of a pond. Like, if
you've ever been to... When you pour a glass of water, it'll see through it. And so you're saying, you know, you pour like 20 glasses of water, it gets browner, and you pour 200, now we're really in Brown Town.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting. Okay.
But have you ever been to the water reservoir here in Vancouver?
I understand that. That's
it's
what
just
it looks
a big
like.
Lake.
I assume some filtrage happens
in dirt.
Before it goes through your tap.
I don't think so.
But also, by the way, you're getting it out of a hose, right? You're not getting you don't have that filter.
Hoses aren't that dirty.
No, I get it. But you know, when you've got like turn on a tap, it's got the filter at the top. It's got other filtery things, I'm sure.
Okay. So
your story doesn't hold water, unlike this pool. Go ahead.
So then we were standing by the pool, and
brown,
pool. I thought it would be hilarious to push my cousin into the pool.
Okay.
You already feel it, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible, right?
How old is she?
She's a year older than me. So I was going into grade 9 and she was going into grade 10.
So what age would that be then?
I have no idea.
Well, okay. And you're in grade 6, you're 11. So that'd be 14, 15. Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. All right.
Okay.
Maybe 16. Probably 15. No more awkward age to be. Mm-hmm. No worse age to be than 15.
And we were hanging out quite a bit, and like I say, we were cousins, but not really, and we hadn't seen each other for a long time, because they lived in Winnipeg.
Right. Were you attracted to this cousin?
I think we were both attracted to each other.
Which is why you got to push each other into the pool. I understand.
Oh.
No, I understand. You're 15, you don't know what you're doing. You got to, like, I got to push you into traffic.
This is before...
There's nothing I can do.
So, to paint the picture also, this is before the deck was on. Like, so there's no concrete. It was just the pool side with the dirt, and so there's a bit of a... Like a 6-inch area of dirt and then the middle part of the pool.
Right, okay.
So I pushed her and she didn't go in. That's where I should have stopped. That's hilarious enough, isn't it? No.
On a scale of 1 to ha, okay. So then,
on a scale of 1 to ha, it's a negative 20.
Okay.
Out of 10. But I pushed her again and she went
into the dirty
water.
Okay, so what was her reaction, by the way, to the first one?
Not very happy.
Like, knock it the fuck off, Dave.
I did not give her time.
No, to be fair, this is before no means no.
It was push, okay. And then it was push again.
Yes.
And she went into this horrible brown water.
Right. The first shot wounded her, and you had to... Okay,
as soon as it happened, as soon as I did it, I just knew I was a dick.
Now, what time of the year was it?
And
summertime?
It was summertime.
So it was hot out.
It was, you know, it wasn't like a terrible...
She's wearing some shorts, maybe.
Yeah.
She's wearing not a big full coat.
She's probably wearing her nice shorts.
Okay.
And, wearing a nice shirt, you know, because she was going to see this guy that she liked, so she was dressing up a little nice.
Yeah, that's right.
That was me for a while, and after this, probably never again.
Okay. Oh, that was you in this scenario. Okay, yeah gotcha. Yeah.
And so, I just feel, I can think about that, and it haunts me, you know? I can lay in bed and think about it, and just go over and over
in my
mind.
What was her reaction when she came out of the pool?
Oh, she was pissed off. Like, she was really mad. Like, super mad. Like, just... You know, and we were close enough, and, you know, she put up with all my shit. I used to come over to her place, and I would bring my tape recorder, and I would make her do radio shows with me. So, you know, I would do most of the talking, and I would get her to do, you know, answer questions and stuff like that. And I just did that almost every day, because the friend that I used to do it with, he lived far away, and I couldn't do it, you know, see him anymore. So,
right. So,
I used to do this all the time with her.
So you were kind of like a TMZ guy. You would go over there and just, like, pester her with questions. What type of radio
shows? I'd make a show up. Like, it was like we did, like, a morning show. Like, a morning, radio show for like a small country radio station. And we would do all these, I would set up all these scenarios, you know, like maybe like a farmer and we'd talk about like the farm report or weather and just stuff like that, right? It was just,
I'm just I'm just picturing how this and goes. It's like, clear, there's a girl. All right, I like this girl. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go knock, knock. Okay. Hey, how's it going, Dave? I'm good. Hey, listen, let's pretend like we're doing a farm report from another country, and I got a tape recorder here.
Now, did I not just say she put up with me?
Well, I'm just saying, this is the thing. Like, when you're a girl, I think around that age, you got some boys who are mean, and then you got some boys who are attracted to you, and you can deal with both of them. You're like, shut up, Steve, or or whatever. Yeah. But you're not prepared for, I would like to record a farm report with you. Would you mind playing the person in charge of corn crops? You've got no defense. Like, you're stunned by that point. You're like, yeah, come in. I've got no reason to say no.
No, no.
But
what the fuck is this? She enjoyed it. She enjoyed it.
Of course she would. Why wouldn't she? Why wouldn't she enjoy that? What girl doesn't want to do the farm report, a fake farm report with a boy?
It was fun. And I also learned with the tape recorder that if I held down forward or reverse, I could speed up or slow down our voices.
Yep.
That was also really cool.
So was that the end of your friendship?
Well, I mean, that was...
Or just it was the straw.
That was one betrayal. And then my other betrayal, and I'll say it's a betrayal, because we were friends. Like, we were friendly that summer. Really close. And then she wanted someone to kind of take her to the new school and guide her around and stuff like that. But I was, let's say, I reached full maturity about 35. This is my defense of myself at 14. I was very mature. And so I was afraid to go to school with a girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be seen at school with a girl. I was just like, oh, Dave with a yucky cootie-filled girl? So I ditched her. And I just didn't show her around the school. I didn't, like, take her to school and run away. I just did not follow through with that.
Yeah.
Which was also shitty.
Yeah.
And so I always feel bad about that. The worst thing, though, was pushing her into the pool, because I had a moment to not do it. You know, that it was good enough that I just did the almost in. But to, like, fully push her in, have her stumble over the stupid metal edge of the pool, fall into this brown, dirty water. And the whole thing is awful, right?
Awful, yes. It's terrible, but... You know, it's not beyond the 15-year-old. Like, that's the age you do that kind of stuff. Now, when you think back,
I was humiliated right then. Like, as soon as I did it.
No, I understand.
I was ashamed.
But when
of myself.
You look back on yourself, then do you see yourself sort of as you, or do you see yourself as dumb 15-year-old you?
Like, I see myself as me.
I know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's one way to make yourself a little less crazy when you think about that shit. Is just go like, now picture a 15-year-old boy next to you, not you. But just picture a gangly 15-year-old, know nothing, what the hell, I don't know, you know, boy, and that guy. And now you picture him doing it. And you're like, oh, you dumbass. But you don't think, what a terrible human being. Brother, you know what? When you're in your 40s, you got to wake up in a cold sweat from this, buddy. You 15-year-old, I want this to haunt you for a day. Like, no. Like, you got to let that one go, because that's you as a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
You're 15. You're dumb. You got no choice. Biology made you dumb. There's nothing you can do about it. And you got to forgive people in school who were jerks to you as well back then, because, you know, they got no choice.
I can forgive them. I can forgive people very easily.
Myself, they drink a glass of hormonic crazy juice in the morning, and they go to school, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, when you're around a girl that you kind of like, your body does such stupid stuff.
Yeah, see, I didn't get those sort of things.
No, I know you don't get it,
yeah.
But your body does it. You know, so you know, you want to like this person, but, you know, the wires.
You don't know how.
Yeah, the correct wiring isn't there to go, you should do this, you know. Back centuries ago, you would have known, because you would have been married by that age and would have had your first child.
Yes, your life would have been a lot different.
That's right.
Much more telescoped.
And if you pushed her into the pond, she would have had plague and be dead.
Well, she might have been a witch.
Well, that is the only
way. That's
the
other option. Well, maybe I was trying to tell from my cousin if she was a witch or not.
I think you got to.
I can finally forgive myself.
Right? Did she? She was fine, though, right?
She floated. I think she was a witch.
Well, then she's a witch.
Yeah, she was.
Well,
a witch.
What's the problem?
Well, there are a lot of problems, because now I have a witch who has a vendetta against me.
It's true.
Yeah, gypsy curse. It's not happening. Yeah.
Wait, why is she a gypsy? Is a gypsy witch? Are witches gypsy? That's a different thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, you'll find out soon enough.
I guess so. I kind of associate the gypsy curse and witch curse and all that all kind of together.
Yeah, that is one thing you always think, like, when you've got, like, those bad past memories, is just think, like, just picture a guy the age you were.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. Take you out of the equation and put that guy in there, and you just go, oh, you poor dumb bastard. what are you going to do? What are you, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really get empathy until, like, it was in my 30s, like, to any degree. You know, I look at stuff I did in my 20s and just go, oof, just scrambling desperation. I just look like Gollum. I'm just like, oh, God, that guy.
My precious ego.
That's right. I just got to get all this stuff done and work my way up this thing and do this. And it's like, ugh. It's gross. But that's you. Hmm. And that's what you should be then. And then when you're in your 40s, hopefully, you know, I hope that you smarten up. I hope.
Yeah.
We're probably going to seem dumb as hell in 10 years to ourselves. We'll listen to these and go like, oh, boy, you cared about that, huh? That's interesting. Hey, remember when you cared about that show you did last week and thought you were a jerk? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you finished your plugs now?
Yeah, that was the end of my plugs.
Okay.
Let's start the show.
Because I have a – I'm just going to plug something quickly then. Because I just want to let people know that your show summaries are on the website now. So if people go to the art – under art, if they go down, it says show summaries.
Oh,
and all of Ian's –
I got to see where you're caught up to, and then I got to give you some more.
Yeah, you have to give me some more.
I finally –
And I added some more of the title cards. The title cards are totally caught up.
Yeah, I've been slacking off on the cartoons the last couple of weeks because I haven't had the proper pens. And then today I just went, screw it. I'll just do one. So I did a new one that's out today.
You I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yes. It's a commercial for Fruit Loops.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Is that the joke that everyone laughed at off mic, but then I got in trouble for saying on mic? Is that the one?
No, I don't think anyone laughed at it off mic.
Oh, you guys were laughing. No, you were bent over.
No, we were stunned.
No, what? You were not.
Fruit Loops?
Yes, you were laughing.
Was I?
Yeah. You were laughing.
And then you're like, come gentlemen, back. Roll the tape.
It was the other
gentlemen,
one.
Gentlemen, roll the tape.
It was
back.
The other, that was the last joke that I made about Colossus to me that...
The that's, Colossus to me back.
That's one that you, that's one where you're bent over in pain. But the other one, everyone was laughing, and I was like, oh, that killed. And then you're like, Dave, how dare you say that?
Yeah, that's what I said. Listen, you know, we recorded the show. We recorded the show. Play it back. Play back the tape.
Isn't it time you apologize for saying such atrocious things?
That's right. That's right. There's no recording of the tape. This is the lovely thing. It's like normally when you have an argument with someone about something, they go like, remember when you said pie was better than this? It's like, no, I don't remember saying that. Well, you did. It's like, okay, well, luckily we recorded that conversation. Let's go back to it. And wait, unless you fiddle faddle,
I edited it. All. Yeah, I edited you laughing. Into
you're not going to make my voice sound high and fast, right?
That's right.
And then push.
Hi everyone.
I know your way.
Welcome to Sneaky Dragon.
Then lure me to a pool. Push me in. I got to say, an interesting thing is happening behind you right now, which is rain. Like we have not had rain, like really, for like about a month and a half. And it is coming down like gangbusters.
I'm
right
not
now.
Happy to hear that because the roof of my shop / studio is off right now.
Oh, is that right?
So everything is exposed. Though I have a tarp on it, but still tarps are tarps. And
well, it might not be where you live. It may not be the case.
Oh, I'm sure it's raining. I'm sure it's raining there. I'll have to go check it when I get home.
Yeah, no, this is nice. It's been one of those days where it feels like the sky was going to throw up all day,
mm-hmm.
and you feel the pressure, and it feels like, and you're just like, just get it out of your system. And now it's getting out of its system, and hopefully, the only drag here in Vancouver is once it starts raining, it may rain for 3 months. So that's our fear.
Yeah.
You know, as Vancouverites, is like, once it starts, it just don't stop.
It doesn't stop
like Pringles chips.
And I need to get my deck redone, like, because it started to leak. It was leaking, water was leaking underneath the deck. It was going under one side, and then it was getting into the insulation, and all the water was running in and then pooling there, and it started to rot the wood in the one corner.
Right.
So ants moved in, so I had ants running about over my head while I was working. And so I took up, so my deck was fiberglass, so I had to cut all the plywood and the fiberglass up and then pry it off. And so it's still sitting there with without anything on it except for the tarp, but oh well.
Do you use pressure-treated lumber?
For that part of it, no, because it's...
That's
it's,
all I know about decks.
Oh, okay. You would use pressure-treated if you just had exposed wood.
Oh, okay.
But because I was covering it, because mine has stuff, like has the shop and the studio underneath it, I can't just have like an open deck that, you know, with like planks that the water goes through. So no, it was not pressure treated. The steps are pressure treated wood, but the plywood was not.
Cool. Now I'm going to go back to potato chips for just a second, if I could. Were we talking about chips?
Were
I think
we
were.
When?
I don't know. Chips. We were a second ago. We were something. There was something related with that. I think there was. Before this, we were talking about decks, and it was rain, and your thing, and there was a, damn it. There was something that reminded
anyway,
me.
Anyway, let's pretend we were talking about chips.
Weren't we?
Nah.
Roll the tape back, Dave.
I think we're talking about poker chips.
Maybe. Okay, so here's here's the thing. They got a thing now in the, like I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine from the States was flipping out. He was going like, I hear they've got...
He's going cuckoo.
They got pierogi-flavored chips Canada now.
Yeah.
With bacon and sour cream. And he was like, I got to get those. And I was saying to him, well, it's only for a limited time because Lay's potato chips, maybe we'll get Lay's sponsoring our show, has four different new flavors.
Yes.
Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Okay. So the one flavor is your pierogies, and that's with bacon and sour cream.
Yeah.
Then you got your...
Basically a sour cream and...
Yeah. That's, I mean, pierogies are like potato pierogi. That's a potato. You're already halfway there, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you got Caesar salad. Weird
that sounds
one.
Good.
Yeah, does it? Why? Because of garlic?
Yeah.
A little bit of chip?
Yeah.
All right. I haven't tried that one. I've
tried
the other
one. Cheese.
Ones.
It should have like garlic and cheese kind of flavor.
Maybe a little bit of Parmesan.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Other one is grilled cheese sandwich with ketchup.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But then the fourth one is maple mousse.
So it's a mousse?
No, it's just maple flavored, with... basically maple flavored potato chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when I saw that, I was going, maple mousse, that sounds strange, because the rest all seem to have the thing. And these are all ones that people submitted, and they won. And then I realized, oh, no. The original name of this clearly was mousse chips. Someone went, let's just call it mousse chips.
Oh, okay.
You know, because mousse chips is poo, and everyone's going to have a good hearty laugh. And I'm betting anything that mousse chips won, and they went all the way through, and then someone went, you know that's a name for shit, right? I was like, oh, God, what do we call it? I don't know. Maple mousse? All right, throw some maple on it. Who cares? And that's how that went. But I'm pretty sure that...
So it's not M-O-U-S-S-E.
No, it is not. It's got a picture of a Canadian moose on it.
Okay. A Canadian moose.
Wow.
So it's wearing a toque.
You know what? It's a maple...
Also known as a wool hat, Americans.
That's right. That's... which I... Yeah. That's my Michael Nesmith story. Not Michael Nesmith, but my Mickey DeLand story, where I brought up Michael Nesmith's toque, and he went like, oh, we just call that a wool cap.
Yeah.
I guess so do we. What the fuck? Now you know it's a toque.
On the show, on the Monkey Show, there was an episode where he played Mr. Woolcap. That was his name. He was like playing a self-important businessman. His name was, I think it was actually Mr. Woolhat was his name, but yeah.
On the Monkees, when they tour, I wonder if they sell wool caps.
That would be good. But Mike Nesmith does not tour with them.
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does now?
On this tour, he is, yes.
Oh, okay.
Our friend Gail Simone is very excited about going to see the Monkees, and it is the three of them.
But Davy Jones is gone.
Or
is
he?
It's not really the Monkees.
Or is he?
Who's going to sing Daydream Believer?
All of them. They're all going to do it. No. You know who's going to sing it, Dave?
Peter Tork.
You.
Oh, the audience sings along.
They just go like, hey, does anyone here know this song? And then someone goes, ee! And they come up and they sing it.
Can anyone do kind of a bad soft shoe shuffle?
See, you're trying to make fun of David Jones, and you can't.
And he could speak. My favorite Davy Jones joke was the one where it was like, what's my line? Kind of a parody of what's my line? And said, well, the real Davy Jones, please stand up. And he said, I am standing up.
Now, didn't he play the Artful Dodger?
He did on the stage. He played the Artful Dodger. He was also a jockey.
Right. And the lead singer, who was not Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins, was also the Artful Dodger.
He also played that role, yeah.
And then Jack Wilde from
H.R. Puff
was also the Artful Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain point in a young man's life in England where you go through your Artful Dodger.
You go
it's like,
that
yeah,
stage,
around
yeah.
13,
yeah.
You know, it's like if you're a Jewish gentleman, you will have your bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
A lady is a bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
And but as a young man, you will go through your Artful Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
And you must do a run in the West End for a period of no less than a month.
Yeah.
As that. And a young lady has to go through as Annie.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Because who's been Annie? There's one I can think of, which is Sarah Jessica Parker. She played Annie.
I had no idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
well,
she played
of course,
Annie.
She's a young lady. She has to.
And in the movie
she must
was,
have spent some time in England then.
Was it Aileen Quinn played the role in the movie? But where is she now?
Counting her money. Counting her fat stacks of cash.
You could point
that's
to like,
all.
Davy Jones.
What movie did you do? Annie. Done.
Does she have fat?
Cash in.
Does she have fat?
Cha-ching.
Because she's at all the Annie conventions.
Yeah.
Signing her autograph on
that's right.
photographs.
You know what? She's
$20 a shot.
She finds a real-life Daddy Warbucks. Boom. She's done.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine.
Yeah, lots of those around.
You know, it was good, and that was Carol Burnett in that film. Nice job.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you don't want you could either play it too scary and no people don't like you. She was the likable, horrible person, and that's a tough role to play in a musical.
I guess it is.
Yeah, it's like you're Fagin in your Oliver Twist.
Yeah,
it's like, well, that guy is absolutely terrible, mm-hmm. but I love him.
Yeah, he is terrible.
He's terrible. He's the worst person in the world, and he's worse than Bill Sykes.
He is worse than Bill Sykes.
He is.
Bill Sykes just has a bad temper.
But here's what Bill Sykes doesn't have: a musical number. If Bill Sykes did. Bill Sykes, you'd like him a little bit more, but Fagin, yeah. I think, like has at least two musical numbers. So
yeah, consider fine. Yourself part of the family.
That's right. Consider so, and I think I better think it out again, or something like. I think I better think it out again. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where he's going. Like maybe I shouldn't be evil, and he goes, "Ah, I'll be evil. It's fine."
Oh.
But they don't show
wrong decision.
They don't show the scene at the end where he's getting hanged, because yeah, it'd be weird.
Does he get hanged?
Yes, Fagin gets hanged.
Oh, I didn't remember that in the book.
Yep, Fagin is weeping in his cell, pleading for his life, but gosh darn it, it doesn't
you
come to nothing.
Go.
Hey, he meets the rope.
You gotta go.
Yeah, it's pretty rough for Fagin.
It's funny, I was just reading an Anthony Trollope book. Surprise, surprise, since I'm reading all his books. And in the book...
And then your wife went, I've had enough of this,
yes,
and she stole your e-reader.
And she left me.
And she threw it in the pool.
With my cousin.
That's right. Wait, did she ever make it out of the pool?
Yeah, I helped her out.
Okay, just as long as that wasn't a murder convention.
And she never was seen again.
Yeah, that's
when we poured the concrete into the pool.
Oh, I almost had that happen to me once.
What?
When I was a kid. I'll just say that really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Don't just say it and just drop it.
No, we were...
And I'm going to pick up on it this time, unlike your Stuart Copeland.
Yeah. I was 9 years old, and they were digging this pool, and so we were all having fun and playing in the pool hole, and then the cement truck came and didn't see that we were in the pool hole.
Okay.
And started pouring cement in. Now, I couldn't make it out of the pool, because I'm scrambling like crazy.
Yeah.
And all my friends just went... He's going to die! And I was like, tell the guy, you're going to die! It's like, okay, don't tell me I'm going to die. And cement is filling the pool.
Yeah.
And to be frank, probably the whole pool isn't going to fill with cement. I probably wasn't going to die.
Yeah, it's a pretty thin layer.
But my friends were, I think, just fascinated with the idea they were about to watch me die, mm-hmm. more so than saving my life.
Yeah.
But they heard a lot of screaming kids, got out and went, get out, I got a pool! And then I was so scared of him that I jumped out, more scared of losing my life. But little boys, not a lot of help in a crisis.
they probably lay awake at night and think about that.
That's right. Okay, back to potato chips. Now, what were you talking about?
Back to potato chips. I don't remember now.
Okay. We were talking about Oliver.
I was talking about Anthony Trollope.
And Anthony Trollope.
I was reading this Anthony Trollope book.
You murdering your cousin.
I was reading this Anthony Trollope book. And in the story, there's a kind of a, what would you call him? A chancer. This person who's sort of a stock jobber, gets people embroiled in his schemes because he needs money. He's constantly trying to get money. And he kind of leads this guy down the garden path, gets him to be a trustee of this young woman and her fortune,
okay.
because he wants him to be able to dip into this fortune to buy stocks for this guy so they can continue their nefarious schemes.
Wah-ha-ha-ha.
It all comes out. This poor fellow gets arrested. Nothing happens to the other guy. But he does get like social.
Yes. Tisk, tisk.
He gets shunned, you know, and he ends up, you know.
Ostracized,
yes.
He has to fight an ostrich or go to jail. That's what, basically, back in the day when you were ostracized, you were given the choice of jail or a battle with an ostrich.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, thank you for elucidating that with your wiki knowledge. WikiLeaks. Leaky knowledge. But in the story, which is interesting, is Trollope, who likes to apostrophize likes to talk to you during his stories, talk to the readers, which is some people find
irritating.
Every
so often goes, how's the story going?
Basically, like, he does.
Yeah, did you buy it or did you library it?
He does.
You know what? I'd buy it
He
if
doesn't
I were
say
you.
That, but he's, he'll talk to you about like, well, don't. This is the part in the story, dear reader, where blah, blah, blah. And he'll like, you know, take you out of the story for this moment to talk about the mechanics of the novel and make you aware, oh, you're just reading a story. You didn't realize that? You're really into these characters? Well, here's the, you know.
You know what? I completely object to that. You know, listeners, this is the part where I am a hypocrite.
And interrupt Dave.
This is the part right now where this happens. Okay.
But
Why did I look to the side for that? I'm actually like doing an acting exercise and I'm like actually making eye contact with someone who does not exist. And I like that you turned to look at that person knowing
curious.
They don't
I
exist.
I thought there was maybe someone out there that
you know
were
what?
Focusing
that
on.
That was good fucking acting.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Good.
I even told you they didn't exist.
Yeah.
You turned, and who was it? The ghost of your cousin.
It was a ghost.
Covered in brown.
Brown water. He says in there about this person. He says he wishes he could hang him. Like he wishes in the story, it made sense to hang this character,
right,
for what he did. You know, but he says he's worse than Bill Sykes. He's worse than this another character from a Scott story. I can't remember the author's name now, but last name is Scott. Do you know who I mean?
Okay. Wrote
Ivanhoe and things.
Yeah, I know Ivanhoe.
But anyway,
I can't think
of his first name. But anyway, he says to me he's worse than those characters. And I would gladly hang him from any lamppost in London, but that's not the way it works, unfortunately, you know. But then he also says, well, it's worse than he gets to live. That's actually worse for him. Because the life he leads only leads to a worse life, you know. It kind of describes him having to leave England, and he ends up in Europe, which to Trollope was apparently like basically a urinal, you know, and all the trash from England floated over there and ended up, you know, circling the drain in some kind of casino town and playing cards until they ran out of money and they just ended their lives as a drunken wretch. That's the usual ending to
me,
villains.
To me, that does not sound bad. I would not mind going to villain town. That sounds okay.
Is that right?
You like
to circle the drain around the casino town?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that sounds like Blackpool to me, and that sounds pretty good.
No. I mean, literally, like, circle. I mean,
are
like,
you
your
literally
life.
Circling a drain?
I mean, well, I mean that's your life. Flushed
down a giant toilet?
Well, you're saying it literally. You're saying it reminds me of Blackpool. I'm not talking about Blackpool.
Okay.
Well, I'm not talking about, like, a casino town.
Isn't that a casino town?
No.
I guess it's a vacation destination. It's a vacation destination. But there's gambling.
Not in those days.
Okay.
It was not. Like, you had to go to Europe. You had to go to the continent to be a...
Okay.
To gamble in that way, right? Go to Monte Carlo or some spa
city. Again, that does not sound bad. Monte Carlo does not sound bad,
you know,
does it?
It doesn't sound bad until you get there. Until you get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
It's the author, so, you know, he's making it up as he goes. It's fine. Yeah, if he says it's bad.
Well, I think Trollope is...
Look, I'm saying...
He has an exaggerated view of those
the guy,
places.
You're right. If he's telling me that this guy's going to have a shit life,
mm-hmm.
this is the guy that created him.
Yeah.
This is his God.
Yeah.
He's right.
He's right.
He's not incorrect.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Okay.
And also, hanging him from any lamppost in London, I mean, some guy has to clean the lamppost in the morning, and he's coming along to clean up bird shit, and he's like, oh, there's a guy hanging there.
I think in Trollope's... In his analogy or his story that he's telling, I think it would be like an organized lamppost hanging. So there'd be people there to take him down when it was over and clean up the mess. They wouldn't just like hang the guy and then run away and leave him hanging there. It would be responsible lamppost hanging.
Okay.
In Trollope's mind. I mean, it's hard to imagine a responsible lamppost hanging, but...
Right.
But I think he's thinking of it, you know, sort of like...
Well, I know you can't hang him from a lamppost because, you know, this, but you know what you could do? Push him in some brown water. Why not? Why not push him in some brown water?
Are you saying that a character that my cousin did something to deserve? Or what I did to my cousin should only happen to a scoundrel and a villain?
I have this...
And that I treated my cousin as a scoundrel and
a villain? I had a horrible image, Dave, where you were saying to me, like, you know, how this water's brown. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right, because the water shouldn't be brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, like, what if it's already full of cousins? And this is just one more cousin.
One more cousin.
Like, you're telling me about your friends, right? Like, what happened to your friend? They had to go. But I'm thinking like, oh, they must have moved away. Wait.
Oh.
When you're saying they have to go, do you mean they have to go to the waterlands? Is that what you're saying? And eventually you tire of the farm reports and then you lead them to the waterlands and go like, shh, look out there. What? Look out. Push. Push again.
Yeah.
Second push. Ooh, and then off you go.
Always the two pushes.
Yeah, which is why they call you, your serial killer name is the farm reporter.
That has something to do with a push.
That's right.
Yeah. No, it's...
That's horrifying. A young boy with a tape recorder who just wants to record, and then, like, you got all these tapes in your closet of, like, people doing farm reports.
I wish
I did. And
these
are all the murder victims.
I wish I did. I mean, I just wish I had the tapes.
You wish you were a serial killer.
I wish I had the tapes. I don't mean I wish I
told
people.
Dave, I would hang you from the highest lamppost.
My brother...
But just being yourself.
My stupid brother, he taped over all my...
Now, here's the nice thing. You've got two brothers, so you don't know which one we're talking about.
Yeah. My stupid brother, well, now he'll know because he knows he did this.
He's not listening to this.
He recorded music over all my tapes of the sketches and stuff that I did as a kid growing up. So yeah, all those things ended up with the jam on them.
Now, my question about that is, like, I've seen a lot of CSI type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can't you get those original recordings back?
No.
And the answer is no.
I think it's no, yeah.
Really?
Once you record over...
They completely get rid of it.
Yeah.
You can't go back and...
You can't go back and... So I don't think it's like a computer where it's stored in some other weird way. It's just gone.
Forever. I'm the same way with CBC. They recorded over everything I did in the 80s, too.
Isn't that terrible?
Yes. The answer to that question, Dave?
Yeah.
Yes.
And his response when I got mad at him for doing this was, well, you recorded over my other brother when he was singing along with the Bee Gees, which was funny. It was hilarious that he did that. He was a little kid and he put the Bee Gees on. That song, is it called Heaven or something like that? Or I can't remember. Nobody gets too much love anymore.
The harder to come from. Yeah. I'm wearing no pants. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you cleared up the lyrics for people.
Yeah.
And so he was...
Then we don't have to pay for the song. If I make up funny lyrics, we don't have to pay for it.
It was funny.
It's like Dave, first couple episodes of our show, he's saying happy birthday. Jesus Christ, how much that cost us? Anyway, go ahead.
But you know, you don't say to your child, you don't say, oh... You know, your brother recorded this funny thing. Save it forever, will you? You say, well, buy me a tape so I have another tape that I can record on.
That's right.
Then it will be saved forever. But no, I only have one tape. So, to be honest, lots of things got recorded over and over again on those
tapes. So what you're saying is your brother is as dumb as the CBC.
Exactly.
I agree. my wife is now on the phone. She is wanting to reach me.
Okay.
And so, I'm just going to start the process of getting towards the end of this. Have we done an hour, David?
Yeah, but I just want to say one thing before you go.
Take your time.
Oh, really? You just want me to sit back?
I'm just wrapping. I'm working towards.
Okay.
You know what? Okay. We had a lovely country drive. Now I'm just heading for the exit. We're heading back home. But we're not home yet.
Well, this will be a short minute. A little while ago.
You
want
to stop at McDonald's? Get a little something?
I'll get some fries.
Fries. Okay, fries taste great in a ride. Sure, okay. Sure. You do your thing. I'm going to order some fries.
Okay. A little while ago on the show, you asked me a question, which was about movies you think should have ended before they ended. Do you know what I mean? Like a movie
sounds
that
a good question.
Yeah, and I couldn't think of any, so I kind of glossed. I kind of ignored you because at that moment I couldn't think of any, so it was better to ignore you than to say
you
I can't
pulled
think
a real
of any.
Dave.
I pulled a real Dave.
I said a question, you ignored it, you moved on to your own thing.
I no-butted it.
Really, Dedricked it.
I no-butted it, and so. But I was watching, I was at the gym yesterday, I was running on the treadmill, and as I was walking...
Watching The Marathon Man.
No, is that movie end before it should?
No.
Oh, I see, but you're always, because I was running,
Because you were running, that was a, yeah.
Yeah, but what I was playing was a movie that, personally, I think should have ended before it got to the ending, which is Billion Dollar Baby, is that what it's called? The one with Clint Eastwood and...
Oh, okay, yeah, I think Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby, okay.
The sequel is Billion Dollar Baby.
I think I was thinking the Billion Dollar Babies is Alice Cooper. That's what it was. I'm confusing things. But anyway, Million Dollar Baby.
Were you thinking of Brewster's Millions?
Brewster's Millions. That movie should have ended about 1 minute into the film.
That's right. When the writer did the second page of the script.
Someone should have pushed him into the brown water.
That is so racist.
To water? That's just a movie. I really enjoy it. Because I was kind of watching it a little bit while I was walking. Usually, what I do is I take my glasses off because... The sweat just is no good with glasses. So.
That's right. So and you can't want see anything. Someone in the gym to go, Mr. Dedrick, you're beautiful.
That's right. Why, Mr. Dedrick? So I couldn't see. But then I thought to myself, well, that's kind of good, actually, because I really hate how this movie ends. I don't understand it. But when I was walking out, there was, and I glanced up, it was still playing. And there was a scene where he's washed in bed and she's in bed. Do you know how the movie, right?
Yeah, I know the gist of it. Yeah.
And so he's sponging.
Spoilers,
sponge
by the
bath,
way, everyone. You know, if you want to end it now, that's fair. Okay.
But and so I could kind of see this fatherly element to it, and that's fine. But can't you recover? Can't you get better? Like that would like it just seems like so. It just seems so. I don't know. It didn't seem like where the movie was going or where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
To suddenly have that happen in the movie.
I haven't actually seen it.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I know of it. I know what happens plot-wise.
Okay.
But I don't know if they earned that scene. I couldn't tell you. If, you know, the whole thing about being a fighter is she doesn't want to be weak, she doesn't want to be this, and so that's why they do it. I don't know.
Well,
that's the only justification.
Maybe it has that element
of.
To it, but I don't know. It just feels
fight or don't. You know, is it about fighting at that point?
Mm-hmm, she's fighting, and I guess, and I mean...
There's no more fighting her, and so we're done.
Yeah, it just feels... I don't know. It just felt... I don't know.
Wouldn't it be weird if, after the ending of that, he just puts on his good, the bad, and the ugly hat and cloak and then just rides off on a horse?
Doo-doo-doo.
Wouldn't that be a weird, weird ending to that movie?
Boing, 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 boing. That music playing. That was his theme in the movie, the Jew's harp.
We tried to...
Or Jaws harp.
Jaws harp goes, dong, 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 dong. dunk, 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 dunk.
That's what I was trying to say.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
That's a Jaws harp?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
See there, yeah, what I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Just assume I'm going somewhere.
Yeah. Sorry. Because the
water was... 89, everybody. 89.
Because the water was so brown, I couldn't see where the shark was going.
That's but, right.
Sorry.
That's the prequel to the movie Brown Blackwater, yeah. Which is about the killer whales. This was about sharks and cousins. We tried to watch it's not Oblivion. What is it? The Tom Cruise movie? Is it Oblivion?
Yeah.
The one, yeah. We tried watching that last night. That was just unwatchable. That was just unwatchable.
Why?
Speaking of movies.
Why?
From sheer boredom.
Okay.
Just like going around in a CGI ship and checking things, and she's working a big screen, and then some stuff happens, and you're just like, oh, fuck off. Just fuck off.
Yeah.
And then Morgan Freeman shows up, and you're like, he's just Morgan Freeman-ing all over the place.
Did you call him Friedman?
Freeman.
Freeman,
Friedman? All right, whatever. He's Morgan Freeman and all over the place.
Well, he was in Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
He's the voice of experience.
Yeah, he's everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's the voice of everything. It's just like, you know what? Just stop it.
Do you know
what? Stop it, movie. Just stop it. Stop it, movie. Stop it.
I know you're a big Netflix booster.
Okay.
I think you would describe yourself as that, would you not?
There's a lot of movies on there, so that's hard to say.
Okay.
It's like saying, hey, Dave, do you like music?
Well, I do.
Well, there you go. All right. You know,
what?
It's like, that's the thing.
What are you recommending?
It's a wide variety of things.
Yeah, okay, But,
What I'm recommending on Netflix right now, Save the Date. I'd say take a look at
Is that right?
Save the Date. Yeah.
Okay, well, what I would recommend is...
Jeffrey Brown, really good cartoonist, and he wrote the screenplay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Interesting. I will put that in my memory bank, and I will save that date to watch it later. And what I would recommend on Netflix is Orange is the New Black.
Ah, okay.
I've actually finished this season, but it's a... It's a good show.
Yeah, I just watched the first episode. It's not one that I can watch with my wife because she hates prison movies so much.
Oh.
So I cannot watch it with her because she just hates prison things so much that's not going to happen.
Okay.
But I might skedaddle and check it out.
That's harsh. It's a good show. I mean, it has humor, but it also has lots of pathos. And
yeah, I watched the first episode and it seemed like, what's his name? Jason, what's his name? The husband.
Yeah.
He seemed to be in a different show in the first one, but I'm sure that he levels off and joins. Like, he seemed to be playing really big energy, and everyone else seemed to be playing actory energy, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And he just, he seemed to be in a different show.
Mm.
He seemed like he could, you know, he was playing the comedy, and everyone else was playing at a different
level. Well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's...
There's nudity.
But there is. How'd you know that? Oh, it's a Netflix show.
Because I saw the first one.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, I saw the first episode.
Okay. And, this is kind of a spoiler, but there's a scene where she wants him to tell her something. She wants some information from him. And he gets the information and he lies to her and tells her the wrong information. And as soon as he does that, it creates this chain of events that he's going to regret. And as soon as he said it, like, I hadn't seen the outcome of this. As soon as he said the lie, I said to my wife, I said to Lisa, I said, what? That's terrible. Like, he's blown it because he's given her this information that's wrong, and now she's going to act on that wrong information, and everything is going to go wrong. You know, you just, like, as soon as you lie like that, you know, like, he was doing it for what reasons he thought were for good reasons.
That's why you do it, yeah?
You know, but, yes.
Interesting.
It's so unhelpful when we lie to each other.
Well, the one thing that...
Because we do it because we're scared. That's one of the main reasons we lie.
You do it for fear or convenience. You do it, or you don't want to go the long way around. Like, if I say this, that gets me where I want to go.
But that's fear. That's fear too, right?
Well, it could be fear. It could be laziness.
Sins. Because you're being... Yeah, but I mean, for convenience, what you mean when you say convenience is, I don't want to lie. I'm going to lie to this person because I don't want to tell them the truth about why I don't want to do this thing.
Here's the thing. Let me give you a lie. Here's a lie that would be a different lie.
Okay.
Dave, ask me if there's any cake left.
Is there any cake left?
Oh, no. But there is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some.
Because
I want it.
You want it?
I'm not scared of nothing, Dave. I just want that cake.
No, no. You are scared.
What am I scared of?
You're scared?
Not having cake?
No, you're scared of what I will think of you if you said to me, there is, but I want to have it, so
no,
I don't want to share
it with
you.
No, I think that you would want to split that cake with me. You would probably want to split
it. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I don't want to give
you... But you don't want to split it.
No, I want all of it. That's greed, man. That's not fear.
But
that's
gluttony. But you are afraid. You are afraid to admit to your greed. Like, if you were honest and just said, there is cake left, but I don't want to share it with you. I just want to eat it all for myself.
Right.
You're afraid of what I will think of you. So it is more convenient for you to lie about it than to have me know that you are a greedy person who doesn't want to share cake.
But at the core of that, what is the stronger one? Is it Is it my fear of feeling like you will... No.
Yeah.
No, I think I just want that cake.
Well, of course you want the cake, but that's totally separate from why you're lying to me about it.
Is it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is.
Mm.
Because, really, you could just be honest and say why. You don't want to...
Now, what I could do right now is I could agree with you,
yeah,
but I would be lying. Well, and that would be convenient. And that would be a thing.
But it would also be from fear.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Why? What would be, what's the fear?
Because you are afraid of having an argument and offending me, so you'd rather just lie about it.
No. It's not fear. It's not fear of having an argument. It's going, I don't want to have an argument. That would be tiring. That would take me 5 minutes.
Well, then you could say that.
And I could either, like, right now just go like, I agree with that. And then I don't have to have a 5 minute. Look.
But you could just say, you know what? I don't want to talk about this.
Am I afraid to be bored?
Some people, no. Not you're afraid to be bored, but you're afraid of hurting my feelings by saying,
that could,
you know,
be,
what? I don't want to talk about this because I think it's
going to be both. It could be both. There's like two things could be going on simultaneously.
I think we really are driven by fear in most cases. Like, that's what lack of honesty is from. I mean, if you're honest, you are, you know, barefacedly honest.
Okay, I'm going to...
And if your wife said to you, you know what? I really want to have sex. And you said to her, you know, you could lie and say, oh, you know what? I'm really busy. I can't do it right now. Or you could be honest and say, you know what? I don't really feel like having sex with you right now. I don't find you that desirable at this minute, and I'm just not that into it. But you'd prefer not to say that to someone, so you'd say...
Because you have not laid that groundwork, and you'd better be laying that groundwork since you met them.
Exactly.
Since you met them, you can't spring
that. You know
that.
What I'm saying,
but
right?
But you also know,
that's
like...
That's why we lie.
It could be. There's the other thing. It's like, you could be lying for kindness. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a dark thing to bring up, but here's one. My grandmother had dementia.
Okay.
So we would go visit her, and she would ask about my father who had died.
Okay.
And so... We would say he's fine.
Yeah.
Now, I can, and I'm lying to her. I'm clearly lying to her.
Sure.
And I think there's a part of her that might have known that, too.
Okay.
Okay, so in that case, that is not, you know, maybe there is a, you know, it's a sadness. Like, I'm not afraid to tell her that, but it would be a sadness of having to, like, tell her that, and she would not totally get it, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
A sadness, like, and it would also be boring to have to explain that all the time.
Well, okay, but boredom is, on the list of things, boredom probably ain't on the top. But that's one where you just go, like, just for the kindness of it, we're just going to brush over that, and we're going to move on. I think a lot of lies...
That's more of the white lie, and maybe you can excuse that in a way, but I don't know, still. I'm going to say honesty is the best policy in almost all cases. 99.9999999, with a little bar above the 999999, meaning repeater, that honesty is the best policy.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of, I don't know. I don't know. I, you know what? I'm gonna actually say I disagree.
Okay.
There we go. I'm gonna
That's
go
fine.
Like,
you're
I just left. Flat out disagree with that.
You're,
I think, like, honesty can definitely be a great policy.
Yeah.
And at times, because life is so cruel and throws shit at you, you have to have a certain amount of denial or kindness for others, that has to overtake the honesty at times. And so,
well, no, I disagree with you there.
Okay.
I don't think that your kindness should be a lie. I think your kindness should be honest.
In what way?
I think if you were, like you say, if life is shitty and throws shit in our face a lot, which is true, then our kindness is there to ameliorate the shit in your face. But if your kindness is fake, if you're only being kind because you feel like you don't want to hurt this person's feelings, but really you do want to have all the cake. That's not kindness.
Let's get off cake for a second. Let's go with this. A person says to you, let's say it's a little kid, and they ask you a thing about, like, I'm going through a thing right now with my niece, and she's asking me about ghosts.
Okay.
Okay, so she's asking me about, you know, the ghosts of people in her family that have died.
Okay.
You know, are they around and are they looking at her?
Yeah.
And to me, I go, of course they're not.
Yeah.
Of course they're not.
So you tell her that?
No, I don't. I go, and what I say to her is, I try to do it as honestly as I possibly can, which is like, yes, some people think that. That's what some people think.
Okay.
You know, and that's not a lie, because otherwise, here's the problem. Grandma's telling her one thing.
Yeah.
And grandma's telling her this is fact, and grandma believes this.
Okay.
Then she's asking me my thing.
Yeah.
And I can go, no, that's clearly bullshit. But, of course, I'm not going to say it in that way. I'm going to go, no, Grandma's wrong on that.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And Grandma believes that because Grandma's from an older generation that believes this kind of thing and thinks of this. And she's coming at it from a kind spot. But I can't get that much backstory to you because you're 8. Okay? And I understand I'm saying this about an 8-year-old. But now we're going to move it up to like 13.
Okay.
And there's certain things that someone will ask you and you... It's tough. Like, especially when you're... You know, when I'm dealing with, you know, with my niece and nephew, there's people who have in our family who have opinions that they believe fully on that I think is absolute bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to balance that and go with like, that's what they believe.
But that's their thing. But if you're honest, you don't have to confront them about it. But if you're honest, they know that you disagree with them. That doesn't mean that you're an asshole about it. It just means that people know what your opinion is about ghosts. People know you don't believe in ghosts. That's honest. You know?
Yeah.
I don't believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But when my daughters ask me, does Santa Claus exist? I would say, if you believe in Santa Claus, he will bring you presents.
Right. And you know? That's a way. It seems like we're doing a dance.
But you know what I'm saying? But I mean, that's a bit different.
We're doing a verbal dance.
I just think, I'm not talking about that sort of thing. Like, that's, to me, is a little different. Like, what I'm talking about are moments where, like, when I pushed my cousin into the pool, I should have been brave enough at that moment to say, I'm sorry for what I did to you.
Yeah.
I was an asshole.
Right.
That's honesty.
But you're mentally fucked
or
up because
I should have said to her,
and you're full of hormones and everything.
Or when she
up.
Asked me to walk her to school and take her for a tour of the school so she would get familiar with what the school was like, I should have said to her, I would like to do that, but to be honest with you, I would feel awkward walking around the school with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't do that. And so I'm not going to do that. That's
well,
honesty.
It's like
Isn't that better than what I did?
Here's the thing. If my nephew asked me, like, hey, what's junior high school like?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can, the thing is like, well, it's different for everybody. I can go with that.
Sure.
You know, that's the pretty much truth.
Or you can say grade 9 is the hardest.
Yeah. Or I can go like, it's incredibly shitty to be 15. There's no worse age, as I said earlier, to be 15. People will say they can help you and they can't.
But we told our daughters that. Both Mary and Eve knew that grade 9 was going to be their hardest year.
Okay.
Because we told them that.
Well, that's different. That's good for you. I'm glad that worked. You've had a relationship where you could get to that.
Okay.
But a lot of times, and I'd say the vast majority of times, people do not have that. You've got to build all that pipe ahead of time. You can't just have the stark honesty, you know, way, way down the line.
I guess.
I mean, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of things are, you know, all paths lead to the grave. But we got to have a certain amount of denial to that and just go like, you know what? The things I'm doing matter. Do they? I don't know. It's all perspective. They matter for a while. And yeah, you should be good to this person. Will I have an impact on this earth? Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But fucking, you know, look, you know, if you walked off a cliff today, we'd be sad. And then in 100 years, people would not know who you were. And in 500 years, no one would know who you were. And that's the end of that. But we don't want to do that. So we've got to back it all up and we've got to make things matter now.
But that's not lying to yourself.
It's not lying, but it's making up your own damn story. It's saying that a sunset matters. It's saying that, you know, these little things in life matter.
Yeah, but that's not a lie.
And you can either... Well, it is a little bit. It's
why?
Not,
why?
Because it's a
fiction. They do matter.
You build your own fiction about your own life. You build your own story about your own life. You know, whether you're the hero, whether you're the villain, the things that you do, you know, have all this impact.
Yeah.
And you think of your life in a narrative structure.
Okay.
You really do. And your life isn't. Your life isn't a narrative structure at all. It's just a series of events like play da 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 and da 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 da. But that's not how we think about things.
Okay.
So when you then apply the thing of like, now I'm going to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Here, first of all, you're telling a truth.
Yeah.
You're telling your truth.
Yeah.
You're telling your perspective on truth, but there's no absolute fucking truth. And the things that you truly believe could be disproven tomorrow.
Yeah.
And who the hell knows? We might be living time backwards. Who the hell knows?
Well,
so that's it. Just gets tricky.
Watch the show when Pia's not around to groan over prison movies.
Okay, there's nudity, right?
Oh yeah.
All right.
And
wait, you're telling me the truth, right?
And the ladies get together a little later. Okay. So watch it and just watch that moment anyway, and tell me what you think.
All right.
It's interesting.
But truthfully, I gotta go because I'm gonna go grab a meal with you and my wife.
All right.
And we're not gonna watch that TV show.
That's a moment of honesty.
Yeah. Netflix is good though. Yeah, I will agree with that.
Everybody,
the amount of that you get for $8 a month.
Oh yeah,
I mean they should sponsor this damn show. $8 a month, you get all these. Come on, how many episodes of Angel do you get? I'll tell you, all of them. How many of the Rockford Files? All of them. Done. How many of McCloud? Not any. There you go.
They're on there.
Are they McCloud?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone wasn't on there. Columbo wasn't on there.
Oh, Columbo.
Okay. Plug the shirts one more time, Dave.
To be honest, the shirts aren't that great.
I disagree.
I've seen the shirts, and they look wrinkled.
Let me tell you something truthfully. Yeah. Everyone I know that has a shirt is ecstatic when they get a shirt. I have never seen anyone get one that hasn't been really happy about the shirt.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'll be honest with the shirt. I'll be honest for a moment then.
Okay.
Both of my daughters have shirts, and I have to say they wash really well. Like, they're really quite rugged, and I don't take very good care of them. Like, I don't...
Your daughters.
I don't hang...
You don't take care, good, I don't care take of your daughters.
Well, that goes without saying. But I don't hang to dry. I just throw them in the dryer, and they're holding up pretty good.
You have your daughters put on their shirts. You push them in a pool.
I push them in the brown water, drag them back out, and then I hang them up to dry.
Okay. We got to wrap this up. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Well, okay. Well, can I just say
no,
one more word?
No, do some rapping.
No, I'm going to rap.
All right. Okay. You can say one more thing. Go for it.
Good night, everybody.
All right, if it's daytime, then that's fine, too.
If it's daytime,
see, you're trying to be the truthful guy, and now all of a sudden you're saying, in your world, it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And you know what? Recording this, it's not even nighttime now. So you're just a liar. Good day, sir. I said good day, sir.
Hello, everybody. Was that the gay medieval show, Fruit Loops?
Okay. Just apologize to everyone for that.